As we gather here today, I want to ask you to pray for my family. Yesterday I did the funeral for my sister's fiance. He's been around her for like 10 years. He went to work on a Friday and didn't come home. And she was called last week, and to her surprise, he was not coming home. She had to go to the hospital, and they finally told her what was going on, that he had passed away suddenly. And then we had an aunt die. It wasn't this past week that she had passed away. And I see in the prayer request there was another person from a 19-year-old that had passed away. I want to get the name right, but let me get to it here. I want to say it's, I think it's Blaynock, or Luke, yes. Luke's, he was only 19 years old. He died from cancer, and just asked that you would pray for him and his family, I'm sorry. And then Shirley Harvey's sister, Betty, went home to be the Lord. They announced that last week that she had been put in hospice, and that if you would please keep her husband in prayer. His name is Jim. So all different ages. My sister's fiance was 55 years old. And then you have a 19-year-old. And then you have Shirley's sister, who is longer in life. But it doesn't make it any easier, does it, when we come to these things? As we come together as a church family to talk about heaven, and we talk about a body built for heaven, we are to keep our minds on that, to set our hearts on things above, as we are encouraged in the scriptures. Let's pray. Ask for the Lord's help. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your word. When we think about heaven, we think about our bodies, and we think about heaven, sometimes we think that heaven sometimes is maybe less than what it would be like here. But it's today is only a shadow of what is to come. The awesomeness of heaven and the promise of eternal life is such a gift that gives us hope in this world and for the life to come. And as we come together today to remind ourselves of that and to worship you in spirit and in truth, we ask that you would be with all of these families I've mentioned. We pray, God, that you would help each one who has lost a loved one to be ministered to by the gospel and by friends and family members. We pray again for those that are dealing with life right now, that's the burden of life with tests and all kinds of things going on in their life. We thank you for the wonderful news about Jen Collins' test. And we pray, God, that you would continue to bless her and her family. We also thank you for Scott's upcoming surgery and ask, Lord, that they would be able to eradicate the cancer. And pray, Lord, that he continues to have a strong body and that you would help him to recover. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful people here who minister to those who are in need. We ask, Lord, that we'd be faithful in providing a phone call or a card or a letter to encourage those that are in need of encouragement, and to steel ourselves as we think about our loved ones and family members to continue to share the gospel message with each one of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, as we think about today, and as we think about our body built for heaven, last week we were talking about the door of heaven is still open, which is a good thing for all of us, that the door remains open for now, and that we can still encourage our friends to hope in heaven, and that God is occupying the throne, that justice will prevail. But again, we want justice to prevail. We think about justice being served. We get upset when justice is rocked back on its heels. But we know that one day God will give justice, and it will be a complete justice. But we need mercy. We need mercy, and the table reminds us of that as we come to the Lord's table. As we come to it on a regular basis, that it is the Lord's mercy that we need, and that we should be thankful for that and pray for those who are in need of his mercy. What happens, though, today when we think about the body that's built for heaven? We've been thinking about what we're supposed to do here on earth. How is it that it happens to be that while we're still alive, when Jesus returns, that this body's going to be transformed, that we're supposed to be thinking about that? And why are we supposed to be thinking about that? What keeps us from losing heart? Because that's what the Bible says. If you'll turn with me just to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. I want to give you a context of something before we get started. If you have your sermon guide, you can grab it because it'll help you kind of understand where I'm heading with the passage. As we think about 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in our Bibles, we look at it from the perspective of what he says in verse 16. He tells us not to lose heart. When we hear about all these things, when I was talking to my sister about her life now, and that she was saying that her life was over, I said, your life's not over. Your life's far from over. And that if we could talk to Doug now, he'd want you to continue to go on. And that we're not to lose heart when this happens. But it's very difficult to face this matter, isn't it? We're all given an appointed time. We don't know how long that time is. And yesterday I talked about Psalm 90, where it says, teach us to number our days aright, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. We might gain a heart of wisdom. Now, how was I supposed to talk to my sister? Well, here's a good way to think about what keeps us from losing heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away and our inner self is renewed day by day. Now, I look at myself, and Frank told me, he looked at me, he saw me, he thought I gained a little weight, and I told him I lost 4 pounds. And it's probably, I must have put on some pancake weight with Andy, because Andy, we get together for Wednesdays to have pancakes, and I eat bacon and eggs and all that kind of good stuff. But we know that these bodies have lines in them, don't they? I just look at myself in the mirror, and I look a little older than I did when I was 18 years old, and my face was smooth and shiny, and now I'm not so shiny and smooth. I'm more of a, I don't know, what do you call it? Mature look. Amen?
Amen.
And my hair's a little shinier on the sides, I've noticed. And when I grow my beard out, I get a little gray around my muzzle like my dog. And these are a blessing to us to think about as we look in the mirror and we see ourselves. We know that this body is having difficulty. But on the inside, Paul says, the inner self is being renewed. So where do we set our focus, Paul says? Look what he says in 2 Corinthians 4, 17, the verse 17, for this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen, those things that we can't see, what does he say, are eternal. Are eternal. So that's the context of what he's saying. How do we not lose heart? We look and our focus should be on things that are unseen. The unseen world, if you will. Dr. A.W. Tozer, some of you guys know him, like him, he reminds us the invisible world as described in the Bible was the only real world. It's the only real world. It's the world to come. Now, this is the real world, okay? So we can't deny that. We cannot deny that we have difficulty in this world. Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble. He says, take heart. I have overcome the world. I will be with you always to the end of the age. So we take heart in that. But the only real world, he says, is the world to come. If we would only see the visible world the way God wants to see it, we'd never be attracted by what it offers, because we are so enamored with heaven. As I was listening, I was reading our songs this morning when it talks about, I will call your name. When I call your name, I will rise when he calls my name. Isn't it good to know that Jesus knows your name? Or does? And so we take heart in that, that Jesus knows our name. And so there's some things we know, we groan, and we wait for. What are those things? What do we know? Let's go to our first slide here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So in the context of 2 Corinthians 4, he says, we know that we're outwardly wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 5 says, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God. So what do we know? We know we live in a tent. How many of you have been in a tent? How many of you have been camping and you go out and you have to put pegs in the ground and you struggle to get the thing up? Now they have those things that you just stretch out and you pull them together and then they pop up
They call it a pop tent. It still doesn't matter. That thing's not very sturdy, is it? It only takes a little wind, a little rain, and then you're going home like my Uncle Kurt. My Uncle Kurt, when he went camping, my mom and dad, everybody in the family would laugh. It's going to rain. Uncle Kurt went camping. And there you'd see my Uncle Kurt coming in with his camper. Not with his camper. He had a tent. They loved tent camping. We went with them. I mean, a deluge hit where you can see the water going down the hill. And here's my Uncle Kurt knocking on the window of our van because we were sleeping in our van. And my Uncle Kurt, I'm going home. Right? So what do we know about this? What does God say about it? The body we live in is a tent. It's a tent. It's like that thing we put up that sits out there. It's a temporary place. A tent we live in is destroyed. It says something about that tent. We know that if the earthly tent is destroyed, we have something better. We live in is destroyed. We have a building from God. Secondly, we notice in verse 2, we groan. Look at verse 2. I don't have it up there, I don't think. At verse 2, it says, "For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling." You ever went out in a tent when it's humid? What's it like in a tent? What's it smell like in a tent? It's got that nice smell, doesn't it? It's called tent smell, I guess. It's a very unique smell. But it's a tent smell. So we know some things. We know that we live in a tent. And the second thing, we know we groan. Don't we groan? We groan. I mean, I was thinking about it. You know, I run, and it bothered me a little bit that Frank called me fat this morning. I don't know. I got to tell you that. It's on recording, so I want that to be recorded. But I run, and I exercise, and my pace is about a 12-minute pace. And anybody that runs knows that's a little bit slow. So it's more like a jog. I don't really run. I jog. And it's like 45 minutes by the time I get back to the house. And if you were watching those guys last night run the 10,000 meters, they only had 3 laps to go, and they were still running a mile under 5 minutes. They were running a mile within 4 minutes. Incredible that 23 minutes in, they only had about 3 laps to go. I'm still huffing and puffing on my little 3-mile jaunt. They would have left me so far in the dust, you wouldn't even have thought about me. If they would have had to leave the arena, they would be showing Pastor Jack coming in that night with the lights on him and a few people that stayed up to watch him clapping him. I'm groaning at 3 miles. So we know we live in a tent. And we groan. We groan. Boy, do we groan. Look at verse 4. It picks up on that. Because if you got verse 2, look at verse 3. "If indeed by putting on we may not be found naked." So he says, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. So what he's talking about is putting on, we won't be without. God will have something for us. God says, absent from the body through Paul, absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. And it's better by far, he says. Look at what he says in verse 4. "We wait, for while we are still in the tent," while we're still in the tent, "we groan, being burdened, not that we'd be unclothed, but that we'd be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." So let's go back to what we know. If the tent is destroyed, we have a building from God. We live in a tent. Our souls are living in a tent. It's temporary. It's temporal. It's susceptible to wear and tear. Even the most avid camper would want to come in after a while if you were living in a tent. The ropes will start to fray. You get a little bit of holes in the tent. You get tired of that smell. You get tired of the wearing out. So the tent is susceptible to wear and tear. Our tent pegs, one of them, look at how easy. How easy is it to take down a tent? One tent leg goes down. One rope doesn't get tied tight enough, and a good wind will take it down like that. Even if the rope just pops, the tent just falls off to the side, and you're sitting there, and everybody's screaming, "What happened to the tent? Who took the tent? Who knocked down the tent?" A tent is for lodging. A building from God is meant for living. So one is temporal. It's not meant for living, it's for lodging. We stay, we are traveling, we're passing through, and my building that is coming is permanent. It promises me a building from God, he says, which is eternal. What a promise. To have immortality. To never have any more death. So we get, what do we know? We know that our bodies are going to be redeemed. And if you keep reading in 2 Corinthians 5, you could go on and read verse 5 there. It says, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us his spirit as a guarantee. So God has put that in our hearts. He set that eternity in our hearts. Solomon said that. And here he's saying we have the Holy Spirit. So we are always of good courage. Look at verse 6. We walk by faith. We know that we're home in the body. We're away from the Lord. Verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body. Can you say that? I would rather be away from my body and home with God. Some people say, I want to go to heaven, but I'm in no hurry to get there, right? But really, if it's really this cool down here, it's going to be tremendous up there. So let's have faith. Let's be of good courage. Paul says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we'd rather be away from the body and be home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body. Well, what kind of body will we have? That's where we go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 50, verse 50. So Paul talks about this in several different areas so that we have to understand it. And 2 Corinthians 5 would be a good one to write in the fly leaf of your Bible if you're ever talking to somebody, especially when they're suffering, if they're in the hospital, if they're feeling a lot of pain. You ever had somebody that's in a lot of pain, they say, you know, I don't think I can continue. I don't want to make it. Pain is awful. It can set me back too, friend. If you have a lot of pain, don't be arrogant and think that you won't feel that way. You might feel that way. So be careful with that. But when I go to a hospital bed, I talk to people or somebody's sick bed, and I'm standing there and I get called, I'll say, you know, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. You know, the Bible recognizes when I'm talking to him about the Lord that we suffer. We have to admit that. Even as Christians, we live in a tent, right? We don't have our body that's built for heaven yet. I'd love to have a body built for heaven. Run and not go weary. I'd love to go out on the track and be able to run like that guy did. Or fly down the pool. I think that I could get in the pool and I think, well, I could swim that fast. No, you can't. These guys are awesome. You can't run that fast either. It looked like I could keep up with that guy just for a second. I bet you I couldn't, after he had run all of that, I bet you I couldn't have kept up with him in his last lap when he kicked it out. He made it look easy. Well, we're going to be able to do that someday. So we have to remember what God's going to have in store for us. So Paul says something interesting here. I tell you, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. No, Paul says. Behold, I tell you a mystery. What's a mystery? Something you don't know. We're going to get an imperishable body. We shall not all sleep. What he's saying, if the Lord comes back before we die, we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye, in the moment, he says, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. What is sown as perishable will be raised imperishable. The mortal will put on the immortal. There'll be no more death. Secondly, when we think about this, Isaiah 40 says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. You ever seen pictures of yourself back when you were 18 years old? You remember when I could run? I could run 3 miles and not think about it. I didn't have to stretch. I didn't feel it the next day. I know ibuprofen. If I could go out with my friend after we ran 3 miles, I could go do anything I wanted. I was not tired. Now you find me. Meredith went to work the other day. I was on the couch. I fell asleep. I didn't even know she had left. I'm like this on the couch. I'm tired. I ran that. I don't know if I ran that morning or not. I probably just walked out the door and said it's humid and walked back in the door. What does it say? It's going to be a glorious body. It's not only imperishable, it's going to be glorious. In 1543, he says, it's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. Glorification has to do with we're saved. You know, but right now we've experienced justification. Justification, no more sin. We're freed from our legal justification. We've been justified by God. When at the point of our salvation, we were forgiven of our sins. So legally in front of God, we're justified. But we also grow in the knowledge of our Lord. That's our sanctification, right? That's our time here. We are sanctified, and we are being saved right now. And we will be saved, and that's when we have glorification. So when the Bible talks about that, we're sown in dishonor, but it's going to be raised in glory. We're going to be free from the presence of sin. We don't know what that's like. You know, the best example I can think of is how free it was when I was 18. I could run and not get weary. I wouldn't feel soreness. Now I run, I feel it for a week. I take ibuprofen just so I can get up the next day and walk. Or I can sleep at night. Some of you know what that's like. Philippians 3:21 is a great verse. Who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself, just as we have been born into the image of the man of dust, talking about Adam, we shall also bear the image of the man in heaven. What was Jesus like? Think about him. He could walk through doors. He could eat. He could ascend. It's going to be a glorious body. It's going to be a powerful body. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It says we have this treasure in jars of clay. You notice what it says. Notice what he describes us. We're a tent. We're a treasure in a jars of clay. What's he talking about? Our soul is in this tent. It's a jar of clay. You think about a jar of clay. It cracks. It has to be fixed every once in a while. It's not the perfect little jar, is it? This little body here is not the perfect body, right? It's got all kinds of bumps on it. It gets lumps and all kinds of bumpy and lumpy stuff. But it's a jar of clay, he says. We have this treasure in us to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. There will be no more frailty. It'll be an imperishable body. It'll be a glorious body. It'll be a powerful body. But it'll also be a spiritual body. It's not going to be subjected to the things that we're not used to. We're subjected by the natural laws right now, right? Jesus surpassed all that. It's sown as a natural body, it'll be raised as a spiritual body. And if there's a natural body, then there's also a spiritual body. In verse 49, he says, just as we've been born into the image of the man of the dust, you notice he keeps repeating this, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven, suited for eternity in heaven. Well, I don't want to keep us here too long, and I just want you to know that as I was thinking about my sister and them, you know that Jesus says, you do not have to let your hearts be troubled. Trust also in me. He says, trust in God, trust also in me. So the medicine of a troubled heart, I told my sister and that family there that there was probably close to 100 people there. I said, you know, the first step is for a troubled heart, for when our hearts are hurting, is to believe. Amen. To believe in God. So we set our eyes on what God has said, what is unseen. And so as we think about this, we're suited for eternity. No more death, no more sin, no more frailty, suited for eternity. We're suiting up for a glorious life. How are we to respond to all of this great information? Paul says something very interesting to me that I've studied. I don't know about you, I don't know how much you study the Word of God, but I focus on this verse. It says, therefore, my dear brothers, in verse 58 there, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Why? Because death has been the last enemy is death, friend. And it's been defeated by Christ. And so as we think about it, he says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Don't move. Don't let it take away your courage when you see things happening and we see our friends, young and old, dying. Death is called an enemy by God. God didn't like death. He never did like death. He did something to conquer it. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. And he wants us to have faith in the resurrection. He wants us to have faith in eternal life. And so I want you to understand, to stand firm. Let nothing move you from your belief in God. Let nothing move you from your standing in the presence of Jesus, standing on the promises of Jesus. When we sing these songs, when you hear songs like I Will Rise, when you think about the last trumpet call, do you think about getting up out of the grave in a powerful, glorified body, in a body that won't grow weary, that will be no more susceptible to death, no more crying? It'll be awesome. It'll be awesome. And this is what we've got to tell people. That's the gospel, the good news of the gospel, that death has been swallowed up, immortal now. We would be. We are no longer mortal. We are immortal. How much confidence do you think Lazarus had when he came out of the grave and he took off the grave clothes? Do you think he worried about anybody trying to kill him anymore? I don't think he cared. He said, Jesus, why did you get me out of that place? I want to go back. I can't imagine what it was like for Lazarus. Let nothing move you from that. Stand firm. Stand firm. Always give yourself to the work of the Lord. That's our last three. This is our three statements. How should we respond? Number one, don't let anything move you from this. Let's go to our last slide, guys. Let nothing move you. Oh, I'm sorry. I gave you another verse, a bonus. Let's go ahead past that. I've talked about that. What would we look like? We'll be like Jesus. How should we respond? Stand firm. Be steadfast. Let nothing move you. That's number two, from trusting in God. Number three, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Do you think Lazarus did that? I think he did. You know, some of us have been saved. We've been raised in Jesus Christ, but we still have the grave clothes on. In the church, the two things that the church is responsible for, this is from Adrian Rogers, is one, to save sinners and to unwrap the saints, free you up. Are you freed up? We have a body coming to us that's built for heaven. This is temporal. It's eternal. We're suited for eternity. Let's be thankful. Let's pray. Father God, as we come before you now, help us to know what we should know is that we have a tent currently. We will live in a building built by you, Lord. Thank you for this picture. Thank you for the hope that we have that we'll be restored. We'll be even more powerful than what we are now. It will be a glorious body. It'll be an imperishable body. Let nothing move us from this truth, Lord. Help us to have confidence and be of good courage to know these things. That there's a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on to come to the finish line. Friend, don't give up. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep preaching the good word. And sharing the good news of the gospel. Share the gospel with a friend who doesn't know Jesus yet. Save the sinner through Jesus Christ. And then as a saint, encourage the other saints. Unwrap them when they get wrapped up in their worries. Wrapped up in themselves. Help them to unwrap. Take the grave clothes off. Do not let your heart be troubled, friend. Trust in God. Trust in Jesus. That heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. That has a prepared room for you. And our friends who have gone on before us who know Christ, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They are in a better place. And it's more glorious than this place. This is a shadow of what is to come, friend. A shadow. death is a shadow. Let the good shepherd lead you home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Rise and sing.